You're listening to Real Conversations with Real People about business and branding. This is The Sheba Show on the Creative AF Divine Flow. In this first episode of The Sheba Show, where we get to chat with real people about business and branding, I sit down with one of my PR clients, Carla Bisong, owner of the Bisong Art Gallery in Houston, Texas. Bisong Art Gallery is the longest running Black woman-owned gallery in Houston. Carla has been in business for over 11 years, and she's got amazing insight into how to build a portfolio, how to build a team, and really how to use collaboration the right way. So stay tuned, because the show starts right now. So thanks again, Carla, for letting me come out and talk to you today and just be a little bit nosy. I mean, I have known you for a while. We've been working together for a little while now. But my audience may not know you. So give us a little bit of background on the art gallery and how you transitioned from corporate to full-time business owner.
Yes, thank you for coming out, and I always appreciate speaking with you. My transition from being in corporate America to a gallery is really unusual, because I always had it in my heart that I wanted to be surrounded by the art community. I'm not an artist, but I love art, I admire art, and when I found out what an art dealer does, then I started being intrigued, asking questions, doing research, and finding out more. Like, that sounds, you know, sometimes something sounds like you would want to do it, but you just don't know how to get started, mm-hmm. what to do. So I come from a traditional background where my parents are working, you know, individuals. They are from Detroit. So I was born in Detroit, came to Houston, and there weren't entrepreneurs in my family. No one owned their own businesses. They had jobs. And so I just thought that's what you do. You get a job, you hopefully get a good paying job, get good benefits, you retire, hopefully, and then you're set, you know. And then I received a finance degree and worked in an investment banking company and worked in different departments and learned more and more about the investment banking world. But I was extremely fortunate, because me and my brother are first generation college educated. So of course we felt very prideful and extremely happy to have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I never felt this is what I want to do for my entire career. I looked at individuals who had been in the banking world until retirement age, and I just said, I don't think that's going to be me. So it was still in my heart to do something in the art community or have some form of art career. And I continued to do my research. One day, looking at spaces, I knew I didn't want to be in a shopping center. I didn't want to be in the mall. Mm. But I thought, okay, well, my career is going well. And even if I find a space and I know amazing artists that I didn't feel have the representation that I thought they should have, I'll let them show their work in my space and we'll just see what happens. That literally was my business plan, not anything set in stone. I probably could have did a little bit more research, but I said, overall, I'm going to have fun. Kept my day job. This was only over 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. Kept my day job and just opened the gallery and said, let's just have fun with it. Let's bring in artists. Let's bring in people who also love art and see what happens. And that was the beginning of what the Bisong Art Gallery has grown into today.
So that's one of the reasons why I felt like I wanted to talk to you, because the goal of this particular show is really to help people like myself and like you who are developing their businesses and trying to take this entrepreneurial leap or just, like, you know, really get started, and give them an actual toolkit based on your experience or my experience. And being in business for 11 years is really a remarkable accomplishment. So let me ask you, what are some of the things that you maybe tried to do, probably more in the beginning mm-hmm. of your business journey, that didn't really work but helped you become what you are now and grow the gallery?
Sure. I'm sure most new entrepreneurs try to do everything themselves. And sometimes you just don't have the resources or the capital to immediately hire help, and which is understandable. But I realized after a year of working a full-time job and trying to maintain a gallery and have, you know, artist relationships and grow, help them with their careers, it was overwhelming. So that, number one, I would say, as soon as possible, build your team and get the help that you need. And then people say easily, delegate, 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 but sometimes it takes time to make sure the people you're delegating to are competent and have the vision that you have. So sometimes that is even a process too. Let's walk together, hold your hand, make sure that you are handling business the way that I would, because working in my business, it's also a representation of the gallery. Mm-hmm. So you have to be also extremely careful that the team that you build has your vision, has your integrity, you know, and has the hard work ethic that you have.
Absolutely. So would you say that your ideas on collaboration really helped you in building that team? Because I know a lot of people talk about collaboration, mm-hmm. but I don't know if everybody really understands what it means. It means that, you know, my strengths are not your strengths, but we yes. work together really well. So would you say that, you know, collaboration was really part of you building that team?
So true. So true. I feel that I am a big picture thinker, and sometimes I don't want to get lost in the weeds of all of the minute details. So it's good to have the individuals that may enjoy that. They love checking every I, you know, dotting every I, crossing every T, and just making sure. And then I learned too, don't duplicate exactly your personality style, because I feel like I'm the optimist, I'm the dreamer, and sometimes you need someone that is a little bit more, okay, I see what you're saying, but logistically, let's walk this through. Yeah. And then sometimes I want to say, we'll figure it out. We don't have to, you know, plan every single step, but it's good to have the two come together, because I'm going to see things that they don't see, and they're going to see things that I don't see. And then when we come together, it's just a better plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think somebody told me earlier this week that, like, most people are not critical thinkers.
Yes.
And I was blown away by that. So I think that might be why it's so difficult to really build a solid team, especially if you're looking for somebody who's a good critical thinker, but also has a big picture. So, like, we're looking for an Aquarius. That's what we're looking for.
And now a good word from our sponsors, Visionary Masterminds.
Last year was incredible, and we had the pleasure of working with some amazing clients. This year, we want to take it to the next level and elevate your visual storytelling with Visionary Masterminds. We will be offering drone service, referrals, giveaways, and a variety of new packages, unleashing creativity, capturing moments, and bringing your ideas to life. Make sure you're following to stay in the loop of everything we have going on. You don't want to miss out. Your vision, our mastery, a perfect cinematic blend.
We certainly hope that you will check them out. They do great work. We've used them several times on many different projects. Now, let's get back to the show.
So what advice would you give a new business owner or an entrepreneur on building their portfolio? Like, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Like, give us the tea on how to build a portfolio.
Sure. Depending on what your business is, for me, I'll speak for myself. I definitely, when it's brand spanking new, I'm okay with doing work or services for the right clients or the right individuals, because sometimes not everyone's saying, oh, you know, let's say the example is catering. So someone who says, oh, I'm having an event and I'm not going to pay you to cater, but if you provide food, you have exposure in giving your business card out to X amount of people. Well, I would take it a step further. Okay, who are these people? Is it maybe a kid's birthday party? In my opinion, and I'm just throwing out examples, but in my opinion, that would not be a great example for you to cater for free, mm-hmm. because you don't have enough information on the parents, who they are. Do they hire, you know, individuals that need a private chef or would need higher end catering? Mm-hmm. But let's say it is a group of individuals who are members of a dining club. So they are already spending X amount, and they love high-end, four-course chef menu. They want the top of the top. They consider themselves foodies, and they do not mind splurging on great food. And so those are the individuals you want to speak to, because yes, they, number one, have an appreciation for your craft, and number two, they have the finances of employing you to cater their private parties and their special events, and they appreciate that. So when I say you collaborate and maybe start out building your portfolio, it's fine to do that, but always make sure who are you targeting and who is the audience.
Okay. And so this is what I'll add from my experience. when I started out, there were a lot of people who were like, oh, well, you don't have experience, so you need to do this for little to nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're right, I should. And I caught myself doing that for a long time. I mean, like, how many is enough, you know?
Yes.
'Cause, and that's what I want people to realize. It's like, yeah, you're probably going to have to give away some things to build that portfolio. Mm-hmm. But give yourself a stopping point.
Yes.
So, like, sometimes I'll even suggest people, like, do it three times. If you mm-hmm. have four services, do each thing three times.
Yes.
And then you can say, okay, no, now I'm charging for it. Because you also know what it takes. Because in the beginning, I was like, oh, it's $25. And then I would be dying because it really was $2,500,
yes.
you know, worth of my energy.
Yes.
So that's what I would say mm-hmm. to that. Okay, so here's another business question. What are your top five tips or things you would put in a business building toolkit for mm-hmm. a new entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm. For yourself, invest in yourself first. So any form, some people feel education is just university and degrees. Mm-hmm. Invest in yourself if it is an entrepreneurship, following behind someone, an apprenticeship, that could be great. So you look up to someone in your industry, in your field. Is there a way you could be of service to that person that they feel, yeah, I'd love to take you under my wing to showcase you. So have that heart of servitude in order to learn, you know, from someone that you admire and you look up to. That would be amazing. So that education and that knowledge that you're always going to keep learning and you're going to keep pivoting mm-hmm. as times change. The way we did business maybe just before COVID is certain things that we have to pivot afterward. So be flexible, have your plan, write it in pencil, but mm-hmm. things are just going to happen that you completely have no control over. I would also say, as I said before, that team is so important. The collaboration, the team is so important. So definitely don't give yourself a hard time when you may make mistakes in character or judgment mm-hmm. in getting someone on your team that's not a good fit. It's good to just realize and don't be afraid of the hard conversations. I am an ex people pleaser. Mm-hmm. So I kept people on my team that was like, this is not working out. They know it's not working out. They don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything. And we just keep looking at each other, smiling and suffering
yes.
together. And we are just smiling and suffering. And I will admit one person, she worked with me part time and I was so happy. She was like, well, you know, I really do need to work full time. And I found a great opportunity. And I was like, I am so happy for you. I want you to spread your wings and fly.
Yeah.
And I'm also learning what the position they're doing for you. It doesn't mean that they're not good. That just might not be their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So doing something else might be something better. I was listening to a podcaster who mentioned he had someone on his team in accounting, but the person was really bad at accounting and doing numbers, but he was great creativity, being a photographer. So now he's amazing working at another company because he's over the production and the graphic design mm-hmm. and photography. But in the accounting department, somebody would have said, this person is horrible. This is a horrible employee. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, he just wasn't in his lane. Make sure you get good people and then make sure they're in the lane that they need to be. So again, I have someone who, great worker, but very, very quiet. It would not be beneficial for me to say, okay, we have few art collectors in the gallery. I need you to go over to them and tell them all about the art mm-hmm. and answer all their questions. That wouldn't be good of me because I know that this person doesn't feel comfortable mm-hmm. speaking. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, great. You are amazing at hanging the artwork and the logistics and helping with shipping and delivery.
Yeah.
And so making sure that's important as well too. And I'm just sputtering off. I probably lost count on
give
how
to
many
me, girl.
Four or five.
We
I'm
need
just gonna
all
keep.
Of this team. So I'm not mad at anything
okay.
that you're saying, but okay. I will say that this came up for me while you were talking about
mm-hmm.
that. One of the reasons why I started being in business is because I want to grab creatives
yes.
who have a skill, don't know how to monetize it, kind of the same way that you do with your artists here, like, you know, helping them that. But you've got to have some of these business skills because
yes.
otherwise it's like, I can't hire you if you're not going to be on time. I
yes.
can't hire you if you're not going to produce. I can't hire you if you're not going to be able to send me an invoice. One of the biggest things that stops people from getting gigs is not having their invoice ready.
Oh, that
like,
is...
I could want to pay you, but
yeah.
you want me to wait and wait and wait for how much money it's going to cost. I mean, that's caught me up too.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't have the toolbox I needed to start, you know.
It's so funny you said that. I literally on my patio, every winter freeze that we have, my little plants die and it's time to plant again. But just sometimes I really want to help minority businesses or new businesses. Just don't go to the local landscaping that is a big name that everybody mm-hmm. already uses. So when I hear someone is just starting out, I go out my way to really, I really want to be your client. Number one, you're just getting started. And I know people who helped me when I started. So I want to give back and do the same. In similar situation, the person came out, looked at my patio and landscaping and just give me a quote. You know, can I have a lower end? Like, what's the bare minimum you can do? And then mm-hmm. let me have a medium quote, maybe a little bit more shrubs, a little bit more flowers, and then higher end, maybe I can get a tree put in and maybe this and that. And I think after 2 weeks passed, following up, 3 weeks passed, I hadn't gotten a quote after 3 weeks. And I replied back and just said, I really appreciate your time and coming out. Unfortunately, I really want to get this done, you know, sooner rather than later, but I wish you the best. And ended up going with a company that's a well-known, you know, landscaping company. But that's a good point.
Yeah.
Just follow through. Don't make me chase you
yeah.
to give
like,
you
business.
Do you
want the money or not?
Right.
You know, because I'm trying to give it to you. But I yes. think you said something in the beginning of our conversation that's really important, and it's key to what we're talking about now. We both grew up in a home where our parents went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And most people grow up in a home where their parents went to work. There's only a few people who grew up in entrepreneurial lineage. So they don't have like this understanding of being their own boss and organizing the structure of the business. Because I think that is what kills a lot of us, is not having operations,
mm-hmm.
you know. So let's have a real come to Jesus about this, because one of the reasons why I started this business was because I wanted Black business owners and Black entrepreneurs in general to be able to trade with each other, use each other's services, and not go online complaining. So what's
yes.
your one thing that you wish we would do better? Is it the thing we just said, or is it something else?
That is very important. Oh, good question about one thing. I think I don't want to sound negative, Nelly, or anything like that. I do feel, and it's unfortunate because systematically we don't have some of the benefits that mm-hmm. other communities have, and so sometimes people complain if it's a restaurant. I've heard when I do read the comments on some places, they're supposed to be open at 1, and I was there at 1:15, and they weren't open. You know, this is what I get for trying to, you know, do business with minority businesses. But then sometimes we may not have that support system. That business owner may have been running late because childcare situation didn't work out. That person might be running late because multiple people on the team just weren't able to show up or something like that, and it's not as easy just to get someone in.
Mm-hmm.
So it is extremely difficult. We do have to give each other grace mm-hmm. when, you know, situations don't work out. Me personally, if I have a bad experience, I try my best to communicate with the owner first, and then very few times I've ever mm-hmm. left negative reviews. But if I've left negative reviews, maybe because I just really felt like they didn't completely care. I didn't get the service I paid for, and then they just ghosted me or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, no, I'm probably gonna post that. It's still very professional.
Yeah.
I'm always professional. Like, yes, I you know, paid for this service that I just never got.
Mm-hmm.
So someone else, if you like to read reviews, you're gonna know, oh wow, someone paid for a service that they just didn't even get. Mm-hmm. Not even bad service, like didn't get any service.
Absolutely.
So yes, I will leave a review if I pay my money and I'm not getting it back and I'm not getting the service. And then also communicating, having conversations like we're having now without looking at each other as competition.
Yeah.
One thing great about being an art dealer, I feel I have no competition because the artists I represent and what the market that I have with the art, no one is doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So if you come in, and I'm part of the Houston Art Gallery Association, I don't feel any other gallery and myself are competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collaborative way for us to come together, support each other any way that we can, and communicate about certain ways that we can put Houston on the map of being an art hub.
Yeah.
There's no lack of artists. There's no lack of amazing art here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be on the level of New York. We should be on the level of San Francisco and many other cities that people say, I want to go to New York to see art. the general public come to Houston, they want to see, they want great food. We have mm-hmm. amazing food. They come here to visit for, you know, a lot of our attractions. But I don't think on a global level we're known for art.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think my thing is the same as yours. But what I would say is someone's going to complain always, okay? Your response is what can make or break you, especially when it's public. Mm-hmm. So if you have a customer that does complain, fix it. I mean, that's just good PR. Because all you got to do is give them some coupons and offer them a free meal or something, mm-hmm. and they'll feel like you cared.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But the response is usually, well, don't come up here then, because that's why, and that's not it. That's
oh,
not it.
That so was horrific. Who is the popular food blogger? Keith Lee. Yes, Keith Lee. And the response, one person just basically said an experience that he had, and I feel, and maybe I would feel differently if it was my restaurant, but I feel like he's always extremely respectful when he gives his reviews and just states the facts. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like
he doesn't even use any inflection in his voice when he talks about
it. I don't feel he does. I think he did a great job, but to your point, the person came back and just was like, Keith Lee, who is Keith Lee? I don't even know that person. Basically, like, you're not even important, whatever, whatever. And it's like, no, that wasn't the best way to reply to him having a honest, critical experience in your establishment. So you don't go back and underhandedly dig at the person. Talk to your team. If it was a team situation, okay, let's regroup and let's talk about how we don't want future guests to have this situation.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And let's be real, Keith Lee changed the life of that mm-hmm. woman that owns the Pottery.
So
he's somebody.
Yeah.
Big time. So let me ask you, do you want to share what's coming up next for the gallery? What's the next exhibition, or what can we expect from Bisong?
Sure. We continuously have exhibitions every 2 to 3 months. And so we have depending on when you see this video, at the current moment in time, we have two artists showing from Austin, and their art is called Electrifying Art. And so that is what you see in the background. And so they are two amazing artists. One artist is a abstract painter, the other artist manipulates neon light, and they came together. So you have abstract painting and neon light coming together to forge that union. The next artist is an artist from Peru who does sculpture work, Juan Torres. He is an amazing artist, and so we'll have paintings, portrait work, and sculpture. And so just depending on when you come to the gallery, we always have something going on. My team and I love to talk about art, so don't ever feel intimidated talking about art, because many people say, I love art, but I don't understand it. I say, just as you love music, you may not be able to play instruments, mm-hmm. but you know you can enjoy it. Same with art. You can still aesthetically enjoy looking at it, but then professionals like myself and my team can answer questions or even communicate how the art is created.
Okay, amazing. So tell them where they can find your art gallery online and in real life.
Mm-hmm. If you're in the Houston area, that would be downtown Houston, Texas, 1305 Sterrett Street. And we're in what's called the Historic Warehouse District area. And then online, website is Bisong Art Gallery, Instagram Bisong Art, Facebook Bisong Art Gallery, and LinkedIn is my personal information or business information. But I hope that your guests listen to the as we speak and find out more and reach out. If you're an artist or interested in collecting art, then I love speaking, especially with individuals looking to get started collecting art, because that can truly, once you get bit by the art collecting bug, like the travel bug, you just want to go to the next one and the next one and the next one.
Absolutely. Well, as your PR girl,
yes,
I just want to say my goal is to help you find those art collectors. So we are looking for art collectors. And if that's you, let us know.
Yes.
So thank you, Carla, for letting me come and be nosy and bring my crew in.
Yes.
Hey, crew. I've got two brilliant men over there who helped us fix the audio and make sure that everything was tight. Really appreciate it. If you like this episode, let me know. Just send me an email, Sheba@mscreativeaf.com, or follow me on Instagram @muze brand mgmt, Muse Brand Management. and look forward to the next episode. Guys, this has been The Sheba Show.